Everybody knows that housing is expensive in Victoria, but recent academic studies have found that homelessness is also expensive, very expensive. It has been estimated the cost to taxpayers for each homeless person averages about $55,000 a year, including the cost of hospital and health care, shelters and policing. But what's the best way to get homeless people off of the streets for the long term? That's what a team in the University of Victoria School of Nursing is studying in their current research project. They're looking at the effectiveness of transitional shelters in breaking the cycle of homelessness. I'm joined now by Bernie Pauly, who is an assistant professor in the School of Nursing at UVic, and also by Don McTavish, who is manager of shelters for the Kool-Aid Society in Victoria. Don and Bernie, good morning to you both.
Good morning.
And Bernie, what prompted this study in the first place?
The study is actually being done by an interdisciplinary team. So we have people from geography, anthropology, and nursing because it's looking at the implications of shelter on things like health, income, reconnection into the community. So the prompt really for the study was that there was an interest in looking at what kind of solutions work. And many of us had worked in the community, developed good relationships with community organizations. So when transitional shelter was being implemented, they asked us if we would develop the evaluation and research to go along with that.
And Dawn, can you describe the transitional shelter that's the focus of the study and give us an idea of how it's different from a lot of the other homeless shelters that people might be aware of?
Sure. Well, the primary difference is it's a lot smaller. So instead of 95 people and a dormitory-style, bunk bed-style arrangement, you have rooms with maybe two or three people to a room. It's a bit more of a residential, home-like setting, and it's got a much higher staff-to-client ratio, and the folks can stay there a little longer. And so it's not that different from the main shelter in that we are working with folks in the main shelter on the same type of goal planning and the same type of, you know, trying to find an income and trying to find supports and an affordable housing situation. The main difference is that we spend a lot more time every single day. There's somebody devoted to sitting down with the folks and saying, right, what are you working on today? People staying in the shelter have, we have a structure, an outcome star we use of sorts, that the folks themselves sort of look at their life from those five different perspectives and try to figure out if they have any goals in that areas, what they want to work towards, and then our job is to help them work towards those goals. So it's well supported by BC Housing and through some money from the United Way, so we can get bus tickets, we can offer subsidies, we can do a lot of things that to help someone move in the direction that they want to move. And that seems to be the key, that and building the relationships with people and having a bit more time to work with them on it.
So you do have to have buy-in from the I think it's a maximum of 15 people you have at the Next Step shelter.
Oh, that's right, yes. We do have to have buy-in. So it's not a drop-in shelter. It's people are referred to it from our main shelters, and it's intended to work with those folks that have made some movement already on their own. What we'd find in the main shelters is somebody would come out of supportive recovery, say. So they've already gone through detox. They've already gone through some steps to manage an addiction, and they get discharged with no housing options. So they end up right back in the shelter, which, because it's one of the largest and only shelters we have, is a really balanced population or mixed between folks that are street entrenched and folks that are not. So they're confronted with the issues they're trying to avoid and, in fact, have worked for months to try and get some distance from. So this allows us to refer them over to the Next Step shelter. They get some separation from the street environment, and they can continue doing the work they've already gone in, so they don't fall backwards. We just really wanted to help coordinate with some of those efforts that are already being made and help support those people that, say, have jobs and they're trying to hold it together for 6 months until they can afford a place, those kinds of folk.
And Bernie Pauly, what sort of results have you observed in the effectiveness of getting people from these transitional shelter beds into housing?
Our results are preliminary because we're just 1 year into it, and in fact the shelter has only been open 1.5 years, I think. So it's still a new program, but sort of the early findings are is that about 70% of people are getting housed when they leave the shelter, and that the extra help that they're getting in the shelter to find housing, to get connected with, back into community resources and supports, and that's a variety of things. It can be healthcare services, it can be community centers, different support type of peer-based programs, a whole range of things. And so people's health are improving, they're getting the assistance they need to find housing in a very tight housing market, which is significant, and kind of get back on their feet again. The provincial standard is that people are housed, that 60% of people are housed 6 months after they're discharged. And so the next phase of the research is to actually follow up people and see how are they doing 6 months out.
Okay, and that's important, isn't it, to follow up on the long term. Dawn, it came to our attention that Next Steps recently won an award of sorts from the North Park Neighborhood Association. That strikes me as fairly rare.
That's correct. It's the only one. I'm quite proud of that, actually, as I hope my staff and the folks staying at the shelter are. As far as I'm aware, the only shelter that's gotten a Good Neighbor Award, because we've only started talking about Good Neighbor Agreements as documents and working documents a couple of years ago. But when the shelter was proposed 2 years ago to go into the North Park neighborhood, there was some concern, like there is often concern when we're proposing housing or even rental housing or a shelter in the neighborhoods. And we met with the neighbors, and we have worked with them all through the process on a good neighbor agreement and on an ongoing set of meetings. And from their perspective, things have gone very well. So this summer, they saw fit to make us up a nice little plaque and ask us to host a barbecue in our backyard, and gave us a Good Neighbor Award, which I hope to maintain.
Could this be the start of things to come? Do you think there'll be more transitional shelter services offered in the future?
I would like to see it. like I say, it's not that different than what we do at our main shelter. It's just that due to the numbers of folks that are out there homeless, we found the need to increase our capacity. We were asked to by the city a few years ago when it really snowed, I believe in 96, maybe a bit later. And so we went from a shelter that was designed for 45 people, that was set up a lot more the way Next Steps is now, to putting 95 people in. And so it is what we used to do when we had more resources, and so we managed to convince the funders and convince the neighbors and convince the staff that we could do this again with this Next Step shelter. And so now with Bernie and her group coming in, it'll help show how efficient it really is and how it really is cost effective as well. Philip Mangano in the States has a saying that cost-benefit analysis is the new compassion. So it's not just the right thing to do, it's also the cost-effective way to do things. So with our new shelter coming up in, our new Rock Bay shelter coming up in Ellis Street, we're going to be operating it as close as we can to the Next Steps model, with an acknowledgement of all the other folks that are on the street that are starting a lot earlier and working with their addictions. But we certainly will be keeping our good neighbor intentions going in that neighborhood as well.
You must feel kind of an ongoing tension in some way. I mean, to keep the numbers down and have that high staff to client ratio means presumably you can get closer to better results and do more. Yet on the other hand, there's so many people in the city who need help. I presume you're in no shortage of people needing help.
Absolutely. It's a quality versus a quantity ratio in some ways. And when the weather got seriously bad a number of years ago, before we had an official cold weather strategy, we consciously made that decision to increase our capacity after being requested by city and our funders, because it was necessary to keep people from exposure on the street. But there are drawbacks. So over the last 3 years, the shelter funding provincially has almost tripled, which is actually quite amazing. And so we were able to put in a lot more services that, you know, we have client services workers now that sit down, dryst with clients, and all they do is work with them. They're not also responsible for the operation of the shelter, so they can kind of, you know, focus on individuals and have that one-on-one time that's so necessary. But Next Steps is a great example of why that's so important and how that is what's necessary.
Bernie, we're almost out of time, but I want to ask you, now that you're partway through, what you hope will be done with this research at the end, who you'll share it with, and what might be the result.
Well, our first priority, of course, is to share it with Kool-Aid so that they can look at making future decisions in terms of program development. But the other is to share it with the community. And I think it's really important to recognize that while a shelter is an emergency response, it is part of the broader move to assist people into housing, and that we actually can have a range of different strategies, with transitional shelter being one of many strategies that take a housing first approach, where our main goal is to move people into housing. So I think we want to also show where does transitional shelter fit in this broader picture, because it works. Our main focus was looking at who does it work for, and then looking at, you know, ensuring that the people who can be best helped by that strategy are the ones that we're reaching.
Bernie Pauly, Dawn McTavish, thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Bernie Pauly is an assistant professor in the School of Nursing at UVic, and Dawn McTavish, a manager of shelters for the Kool-Aid Society here in Victoria.